Now, in the past, I have not been shy in expressing my loyalties. Now, this season, I haven't spoken much about my team. They just haven't done very well. But that's okay. I'll stick with them. I'll stick with the teams that I grew up listening to on the radio and watching on television. But now I'm getting ready for baseball season, anticipating the beginning of spring training and a new summer of baseball. Because, you know, it's my team that is looking to win their fourth World Series here in recent history. And I must say that with my loyalties, I will never, ever, ever be a Cardinals fan or a Diamondbacks fan. Like I've said many times before, you don't have to agree with me on everything. And I share with you this idea of loyalty when we think of the Hebrew people to whom the author of the letter writes. These are God's people, the Hebrews. They had historically looked to the temple. The temple was the place where earth and heaven met, more than a place to worship, but it was the place where earth and heaven met. This concept went back as well. This concept went back as well to the tabernacle, the tent that they traveled with that contained the Ark of the Covenant. It was there that wherever the place was, the world came in contact with God's realm. And so it did at the temple. And so the writer to the Hebrews now writes to the new Christian. He writes to those who have this traditional background. It is at the temple where their songs and the music and the words raised up to God. In the temple, their praises lifted to God. In the temple, the smoke of their sacrifices and the incense was lifted up to God. And it was believed that God would experience these and grant them favor. The Hebrew people had looked to the temple in that manner. And now they come to God through Jesus. In Jesus, the world will come in contact to the presence of God. And so the writer of the letter uses the word better more often than the word is used in the rest of the New Testament. Writing to the Hebrew people who come from this tradition, that which is now better, that which is improved, that which is superior and more excellent. What you have had with God has been good. What God has done and is doing through Jesus is better. Turn to that which is better, the author writes. Hold on to that which is better. Do not return to the old and do not look back. And so the author writes of that which is better now. Take a look for a moment at the sacrificial rituals that the people had practiced through generations and generations at their temple. They had different kinds of offerings. One was which they offered something of value. These offerings then were an expression of gratitude, of how grateful the people were. And so then they gave of their first fruits, it is said, the first of the harvest, the first of the lambs that were born. They gave of their firsts, knowing that God would continue then to provide for them. They would offer what they first received. They did not give out of excess, but they gave that which held value to them. To think about that for a moment, imagine a person sharing a coat for Christmas as a gift. Now, this particular coat was in the back of the closet. Never been worn, never used. Just there back in the closet. An extra one. It made a nice gift, for sure, and was certainly appreciated. But compare that value of that gift to the person who decides to give their favorite coat, their warmest coat, their best coat, as a gift to another. Or consider a person who gives $100 in their offering. This $100 comes after they pay for everything they need. And it comes after they pay for everything they want. And perhaps many things that they don't even need. It comes from an excess. That which is left over. Compare the value of that gift to the person who first and foremost gives their $100. Praying that God will continue to provide. But no matter their circumstances, that is what they give first. Think of the value of that gift. Offering something of value. A sacrificial offering. There are also the blood offerings. The spilling of the blood recognized the breaking of the covenant. The blood covenant that went back all the way to Abraham. When one was to break the covenant promise, was to break the relationship, their blood was to be shed. That was the cost of their failure. And so the Hebrew people had made these sacrifices knowing of their failures, knowing of their shortcomings, in attempts to gain favor from God. And these old sacrifices were done over and over again. And the problem was that their guilt still filled their consciousness. Their need of forgiveness continued to exist. They knew of their failures. One Sunday, the pastor was speaking and interrupted his sermon. And he said, in reference to the two teenage girls who were sitting in the back giggling, he said, "There are two of you here who haven't heard a word I said." The giggling stops. After the service, as he was greeting the people as they left, six adults came up to the pastor and apologized for falling asleep. Never again, they said, would this happen. But here is just an illustration of our failures. Even with our best attempts. And the Hebrew people recognized this. And so they made their sacrifices time and time and time again in order to try to gain God's favor, making their offerings. But the author now to the Hebrew people writes that through the sacrifice of Jesus, His blood was shed once and for all. The present state of the uncleanliness of the people has been washed away for all generations. How Jesus takes sinfulness upon Himself, and that our sins are fully and finally dealt with. It is not our blood that paid the price, but it was the blood of Jesus. And with that, we experienced true forgiveness. And so to the Hebrew people it is written, do not return to the old, do not look back, but now hold on to that which is better. The author of the letter uses the words from Psalms to voice Jesus' feelings. I have come to do your will. More accurately, it's I delight to do your will. I delight. It is God's will that we have been sanctified through Jesus, once and for all. It is the will of God that the body of Jesus would be that offering. And we learn from Jesus how He delights in being the offering, in giving of Himself. The Hebrew people are reminded of the covenant, the new covenant, that is spoken by the prophet Jeremiah. The prophet shares God's message, I will make a new covenant. I will make a new covenant. And that covenant will mark their hearts. Not be like the covenant of old, but I will write it on their hearts. And in this new covenant, they will know me. They will know me. They will have an intimate and close relationship with me. From the least of them to the greatest, they will know me. For through Jesus, not the temple, we are brought in touch with God. Wherever we are, wherever we may be, we are in touch with God's realm. Jesus says, I delight to do your will. I delight to do your will, voluntarily offering Himself, being that offering. For us then, we look at Jesus and we reflect on God's will. It is God's will that we too would be an offering. Our entire life would be an offering, giving of our best, giving of our first fruits, to delight in doing God's will, in being an offering. Amen.